This interview is sponsored by Haystack. That's where you're going to find the right web designer for your next project. Check them out, haystack.com. Hey everyone, I'm Andrew Warner. I'm the founder of Mixsurgery.com, home of the ambitious upstart. And I've been watching Game Mechanics. Yeah, home of the ambitious upstart. There we go. And I've been watching a lot of internet companies use game mechanics to draw me personally in, to get me more, to compete with myself for how much I use their sites. So I invited Amy Jo Kim here, the co-founder of ShuffleBrain, to talk to us about game mechanics, how we can incorporate them into our business, and also how we can just understand how others are using them well. Amy Jo, do you have a couple of examples that people could look at to understand how this plays out in the real world?
Sure, that's a great question. So game mechanics are the underlying systems that drive games, not the graphics, not the wonderful sound effects, not the big explosions, but the underlying systems. And anyone who's ever used a social network knows what it feels like to start to collect friends. How many friends do you have? Oh, look how many friends he has. Oh, look, she's in the top friends list. Right there, that's a game mechanic. So Facebook, MySpace, they have some basic game mechanics just by the fact of having a number that goes up. Your Twitter followers is a game mechanic, and that's a game that people play. YouTube has leaderboards. YouTube has the most popular, the most searched, the most favorited. And you can sort by those and see who's top and see an ordered list. There's a game mechanic. Yelp has a reputation system and all kinds of statistics that people collect about themselves. They have an elite squad, which you have to petition to get in. Those are game mechanics, too. I think Yelp is an interesting example. There's a programmer's discussion site called Stack Overflow. It's got badges, level up ideas, all of those game mechanics were familiar from World of Warcraft and other similar games. You're seeing those now creep into programmer discussion boards. Those are some examples that if you're wondering, how are game mechanics influencing web software? Go check those out. Anyone who's ever selected from a list on YouTube is engaged in game mechanics.
Are they intentionally adding game mechanics to their sites, or is it just that they happen to work because game mechanics happen to have been present, do you think?
Well, first of all, there's a lot of overlap between game mechanics and effective, engaging web design. There's definitely overlap there. I think people are more and more adding game mechanics to their websites because the generation of people building websites grew up with games. It's in their blood. It's in their fingers from the controllers. And I also think that they're noticing that game mechanics work more broadly and intentionally saying, I want to have a leaderboard because I want to drive competition on my site, and I want the most passionate members to have something to keep them busy other than just the average activity there.
I see. Okay. And I mentioned that you are the co-founder of ShuffleBrain. Is it co-founder?
Yes.
It is. Can you tell us what ShuffleBrain is?
ShuffleBrain is a design consultancy and game development studio. I specifically do metagame design for both startups and big companies, and I'll tell you more about what that means. We also have been developing some original brain games, which are based on puzzles by Scott Kim, my co-founder, and soon we should have something very interesting to announce around our original games. And so stay tuned.
Oh, yeah. You didn't tell me earlier what it was, but I said I'd like to get you back on Mixergy to talk about it when you're ready to announce it. Yeah.
So the design consultancy part of ShuffleBrain is involved in both game design. I've worked on games like Rock Band. I did the network design for Rock Band. And also metagame design. My earliest project there was I did many of the gaming systems that drive eBay.
The game systems that drive eBay. So eBay is intentionally...
eBay is another great example. How silly of me.
How is eBay doing it? How did you help eBay do it?
Well, I worked with eBay very early on, and I had three major projects. And this is a great example of game systems. And we weren't even necessarily calling them game systems. We were trying to solve problems. And it turned out that game mechanics helped us solve those problems, which is kind of the heart of this whole thing. The first was to strengthen and tighten up the reputation system. When I first started working with eBay, the reputation system was not tied to transactions. Anybody could leave reputation for anybody else at any time. And there were reasons it was that way early on. And one of the big lessons there that I think a lot of web developers are learning is what works in a system at one point of scale isn't the same thing that works for a system at another point of scale. You need to keep evolving these systems. So we tightened up the reputation system when eBay started to scale, tied it to transactions. And I'd say reputation systems are very much a game mechanic. Games are full of them, especially multiplayer games. We also launched the profiles, the rich profiles, the About Me pages. And one of the strategic points there was to allow them to be very customizable by members. We defined HTML tags that were specific to database queries so that you could write your own code and really make your About Me page come alive and be very personalized and pull data directly from the database. And that was the second major project I worked on. And the third one was the tiered reward system for sellers. It's called the Top Sellers Program. And the fact that it's tiered and that there's different levels you can aspire to and you earn, you know, privileges at the different levels is very much a game mechanic. And that had a lot of internal debate about how tiered it should be and how it should be structured and whether it should seem game-like or more like a general purpose system. And those are all the same discussions I still have today with my clients, you know, how to frame it. But those are some examples of game mechanics powering eBay's auction marketplace.
And Will Lamb, who's watching us live, is saying that one of the hottest examples he thinks of game mechanics right now would probably be Foursquare, which is a game that will, if you've been to a place more than anyone else, you become the mayor. And I've never become the mayor, but I keep trying to.
There you go. That's game mechanic. Yeah, Foursquare uses very simple, familiar game mechanics, earning points and earning badges, and a one-person leaderboard, which is mayor. I think Foursquare is a great example of how to use game mechanics like that very effectively. I think that it's tempting as a game designer to say, oh, points, badges, leaderboards, you're done. And that's not always the right solution for everything. For instance, you might try adding that to search and might not necessarily work. I had some interesting conversations around that lately. But Foursquare's use of the, let me just finish. Okay. Foursquare's use of those particular game mechanics, I think, is brilliant. I think that's just a great example. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, thanks, Will. So can you tell us about that? Can you add game mechanics to search? How would you do it?
I think you can. I think that it starts by really looking at who the people are that are coming to search and what their mindset is and what their goal is, and then using game mechanics to support that. I think if you give people badges for searching a certain number of times, which is one idea that's come up several times when I've been talking with clients, that could reinforce it, and it could also make people very aware that you're tracking them, which, for example, isn't something you really want to make people aware of when they're searching. So I think you could. I don't have a pat answer. I think it really depends on the particular brand and focus of the given search engine, which is always the case with whatever you're doing with game mechanics. You know, using them effectively, there's no pat answer. But you have, I think of game mechanics as a big tool belt of different things that you could do that would drive behavior using rewards and feedback.
Okay, and we're going to be
talking... And so what we've talked about so far are just a few tools on the tool belt, but there's many others.
Okay, and we're going to get into more of the tools on the belt. But first, I want to ask for a definition. You used the word metagame earlier. Can you explain what that is?
Sure. A metagame is a feedback and reward system that you layer on top of an existing activity. That's my working definition for how I use it. It's interesting, in gaming, metagame has a different meaning. It means using out-of-game information or resources to influence in-game decision-making, like cheating at poker or that sort of thing. But in the web services, the pragmatic definition is most people want to drive engagement. They want to drive repeat business. Again, we're talking about web services, something that evolves over time and exists over time. And a metagame uses feedback, like the kind of feedback you might see in games, statistics, all that kind of stuff, plus rewards, which are badges and leaderboards and points and prizes and all different kinds of things that are carrots that you dangle in front of people to get them to continue to perform behaviors. And again, I want to emphasize, effective metagame design supports the reason people are there already. It doesn't distract them from it. It supports it.
Okay. When we did a pre-interview last night, you told me that a lot of people want to almost tack on a gaming experience onto their existing business. Is that possible?
It's possible. It's absolutely possible. Hire somebody to do it. Whether it's going to get the, is it going to get you the results you're looking for? Probably not. Any time you put a game system into place, people will respond to it, guaranteed. They'll respond, but they might not respond quite the way you want. Here's a really simple example that I think a lot of us are familiar with. Dig used to have leaderboards for the top diggers, and then they took them down. Orkut used to have leaderboards for the top frienders, and then they took them down. That's a game system backfiring. It's driving a certain behavior, but it's not driving the behavior that was intended. Probably when Dig was very small, that leaderboard was very effective at getting people to continue to dig. Once it got bigger, it became easy poaching for competitors. It became full of angst as people accused them of favoritism and little cabals of people digging each other's articles and things like that. And it caused so much trouble, they took it down. Okay. So tacking on a leaderboard will drive behavior, but it may not be the thing that you're looking for.
I see. So if I just have a leaderboard for the most reviews on my cooking website, people might just start reviewing everything without considering without even trying any of the recipes that I'm listing.
Right. And an interesting example to follow on what you're saying, Andrew, is that if you did that, a better system that isn't so prone to that kind of gaming would be to reinforce the reviews that got a lot of reactions and that were voted thumbs up by other people. It's still gameable, but then you're driving social points. And this is jumping ahead a little, but one of the most common confusions that people run into, and one thing I'd love for all the viewers out there to understand, is the difference between system points and social points, game points and social points. Game points, or system points, are what you would earn in a single-player game. They are you in the system. They are you posting content or writing reviews or doing actions that are controlled only by you, and the system tracks that. In a game like Bejeweled, it's you, you know, making match threes. Those are regular game points. Social points are points that you amass as people react to things that you've done. A reputation system is based on social points, other people's reactions to what you've done. And in your example, a better recipe system would be highlight the recipes that a lot of people think are great, not just you for posting a lot. So that's one of the most fundamental sort of best practices of applying game design is try and design systems that reinforce the behavior you want to see and assume that people are going to do exactly what you tell them to do with the system.
Okay, and I see that a lot of people are typing in questions about how this can be used in specific cases. I'm going to bring up specific cases towards the end of this program. For now, I thought we'd move on to layers of experience. Can you tell us what the different layers of experience are?
Action. In a metagame design?
Yes.
Great. So to recap, a metagame is a feedback and reward system that you're layering on top of an existing activity. So let's take a recipe review site as an example. So let's say that the existing activity is sharing recipes and all the activity that goes around sharing recipes. So that's the baseline activity. And there's the first level is turning activities into points. So every metagame at some level, whether the points are visible or not, has points at the basis. And then once you've got points, there's a lot you can do with them. So the first level is taking your core activities, deciding which of them you're going to give points for, and assigning points to those activities, and having a tracking system that lets you do that. There's various buckets you'll want to turn the points into. For instance, game points versus social points. And that's layer one, the activities and the points. Layer two, so think of it as a layer cake, layer one. Layer two on top of that is your feedback and reward system. And if you want to do badges, if you want to have missions, if you want to have leaderboards, if you want to do spotlights, if you want to have statistics, you want to have a dashboard with statistics, look at Yelp. Yelp is basically a little dashboard with statistics that people amass of all different kinds of things. That's one style of metagame. That rewards layer is layer number two. The third layer, which has become much more into people's consciousness these days with social networks, is the viral outreach layer. Now that you've got your actions mapped in the points and you've got rewards on top of those that are designed to drive the behavior you're trying to evoke from your players. By the way, I use players instead of users just to get us in the right frame of mind. Then you say, okay, what are the braggable moments that I want people to send out to the rest of the web? Not just my website or my game, but the rest of the web. If you're going to use Facebook Connect, if you have your own system for broadcasting, if it's going to be email, if it's going to be notifications, whatever, your reward system should be designed thinking about what are the braggable moments, the moments when someone really wants to communicate something that happened. And then that's the layer of design that I call viral outreach. And then what do I want to do with those braggable moments? Depends on what you're doing. But thinking about that at the beginning can really help you design the rewards around that strategy. If what you're trying to do is grow your service, which is a very common goal.
All right, so if I understand this
right. So that's one of the hidden gems of any reward system is it creates braggable moments for viral outreach.
All right, I'm going to ask for a specific example in a moment, but first I want to make sure that I understand this. The first thing we want to do, the first level is understanding the actions that we want our users to take. The second level is giving them feedback and rewards for taking that action so that they know that we've noticed it and that we're spotlighting them and giving them rewards so that they compete to do more to do more of those actions.
And deciding, you know, deciding the timing over time of the feedback and rewards. You may not give them feedback for every single action, but there's going to be some collection of actions that you give them the feedback for.
And then we want to help them brag about it so that they can bring in their friends to the site to see it. Gotcha.
Great summary.
Do you have an example of a site that does this well or an example of a site that does all three clearly?
What you should do is go play Farmville.
Farmville.
Or any of the popular social games on Facebook, and you will see the most vivid example in action. So what you will see is clear statement of what you need to do and clear rewards and braggable moments. So that's the very best example. Last night, here's another example. I ran into a site last night that does something kind of close, which is Huffington Post. If you look at some of the articles on the Huffington Post, one in particular, if you follow me on Twitter, I'm Amy Jo Kim on Twitter, by the way. It's in my last few tweets. So I saw an article and I read it and it was interesting and short and punchy and it had reactions to the article and it says, is this interesting, inspiring, stupid, et cetera, et cetera. So I thought the article was helpful. So I clicked helpful and up popped a pop-up. It said, would you like to share this article with your one sentence review on Facebook? And in fact, I did because I thought it was a good enough article and I had bothered to click the word helpful. If I hadn't, I wouldn't have gotten that braggable moment. So it wasn't exactly a reward, but it was a very game-like system and it was a great example of that viral outreach being connected to an action on the site in a way that made sense to me as a player. In fact, at that moment, I did want to let my friends on Facebook know about it. And so I did.
All right, you mentioned question and answer sites earlier. So question and answer site, the action that they want is for people to ask questions and to answer questions. So that's level one, that's the action. Level two would be the feedback and reward. And There we might decide to have a leaderboard. There we might decide how to award points, maybe fewer points for somebody who asks a question, more points for somebody who answers a question, even more points
well, what
for
you,
someone who answers a question.
Let me insert something. What you actually want is someone to answer the question correctly, not just
yes.
to answer the question. Because if you just reward answering the question, you're going to get a lot of, I'm typing. Oh, me too. Here's my answer, you know. So you actually want a system for Q&A that is targeted toward good answers verified by the asker.
Okay. I want to come back to that, to the good questions
okay.
issue in a moment. But first, you're creating the leaderboards, you're awarding points for the right actions, and then you're letting people spread the word about it by maybe giving them badges that they can put on their websites to say to everybody, to say to their followers, to say to anyone who comes to their website, I'm smart enough that I've been able to answer these questions. I'm an expert in this area. Now, you mentioned actually, you're right, I was going to award points for the wrong action. What happens in a system where you're awarding everybody points, where they're all fighting for points and placement, and then you realize that you've awarded them points for the wrong action and you have to redo the system that they're all counting on?
A look at the evolution of Yahoo Answers for the answer to that question.
How do you mean? What happened there?
Well, they've adjusted their system a lot over the years. I'm not actually at the moment completely familiar with the gnarly details, but I know that when Yahoo Answers launched, they got a huge amount of traffic. They had a system that reinforced activity and page views, because that was part of the goal of the project. And something like 65% of what was in there was just garbage. It's much better now. They've learned, they've adjusted, etc. But they were rewarding activity rather than quality. That's the overall design goal, and it absolutely showed. And in fact, they did get a lot of page views.
But what do you do when you want to adjust it? I mean, as it is, you've got a every community is pretty vocal. This is a major change to what they've expected. You're taking away
yep.
points that they've earned, or you're helping others out-earn them. How do you do it without
irritating
people?
That is such a great question, and everybody faces it. You know, it's very hard, if not impossible, to figure this stuff out ahead of time. So everybody should feel better. If you're like stumbling along and you need to adjust your system, guess what? That's how Zynga makes successful games. That it's absolutely how great software gets developed these days. So how do you do that? Well, there's several things that you do. One of which is you can make your system somewhat opaque so you can do more adjusting under the sheets. Don't show them exactly how many points they're earning necessarily, unless you've already figured it out and you're really sure about that. Don't show it to them. Another thing you can do, which is really, really smart, is when you launch your system, launch it as beta, say, absolutely, this is going to be evolving over time. We want to say it up front. Remind everybody periodically, we're evolving this over time, we're learning, etc. MMOs do this too, even though it's much harder. And so ways to mitigate it are, you know, make it opaque, warn people, be very upfront about, be transparent about the fact that it's an evolving system. And the other thing is know that people get pissed off and that they'll adjust. Anytime, this is like the law of community. Anytime you've got an existing community and you make a big change, especially in a reward system or a point system, the old timers will hate it. It doesn't matter if the change makes the game better. It doesn't matter. They'll hate it. And some of them will leave. And that's natural part of community evolution. It happens in the real world too. You join a church or a temple and a new pastor comes in and everything changes and the old timers hate it. It's how it goes. And some people stick around and the community continues to grow if it's a healthy community.
Okay.
And there's a lot of more technical details about how you built systems to do that. But the bottom line is you do your best up front. You get really good feedback if you can up front from your early adopters and from, you know, a panel of users or something like that. And then you're prepared to change it and you let people know. And the ones who really like the game or the community will probably stick around as it gets better.
Okay. I've got a note here to ask you about the 5 fundamental game mechanics.
Sure.
Is there a list of 5 that you teach?
Sure. So any of you who are interested in this, if you go to SlideShare and search for Amy Jo Kim, You will get several presentations. If you go to YouTube and search for Amy Jo Kim, you'll see some talks that I've given on game mechanics. And I refer to you there for a lot of really great details. These five game mechanics are not all the fundamental game mechanics, like you're done. They are five game mechanics that are particularly useful for social software and web services. They're useful, they're low-hanging fruit, they're applicable. There's a lot more sophisticated things you can do, but these five are a great place to start. Okay, so that's my framing. The first is earning points, which we already talked about. The most fundamental thing that makes something seem like a game is points. People look at their Twitter followers and they see points. People look at their number of friends and they see points. Anything that looks like points, smells like points, quacks like points, you know, is going to be points. Once you've got points, you can do leaderboards if you choose. That's why there's a mayor of Foursquare places, because of points. Once you've got points, you can also do levels. So let me demystify levels. Levels are just arbitrary points along the continuum of the points that you're earning. They really are. And levels are shorthand for, gosh, I have a lot of points. You take a continuum, you put certain points along it, usually use a mathematical model to come up with that if you're doing game design, and you've got levels. And you get all of that if you want it, if it's relevant for you, once you've got the underlying mechanic of points. So that's number one, the most basic. The second is the collecting mechanic. The game mechanic of collecting is very mainstream, very familiar to people. You amass collections. There's baseball cards, there's trading cards, there's Beanie Babies, there's, you know, fans you've collected from your trip around the world. A lot of people are collectors. And the mechanics of collecting, and badges are a good example of that. Badges tap into a collecting mechanic. Badges are interesting when there's more to earn. You earn one badge, wow, there's more. What does it mean to complete a set? If you can frame your badges as sets that you can complete, boom, you've just tapped into the collecting mechanic. Okay? So there's points, number one, collecting, number two. Number three is feedback. So feedback is not just games, of course. Feedback is good software design. Feedback is good UI design. But games are particularly good at feedback, and that's why I consider it a game mechanic. If you've ever played any of Harmonix's games like Rock Band or Karaoke Revolution or Guitar Hero, those games give you feedback on so many levels about what you're doing. They actually make you better at your skill. And that's what feedback fundamentally does, is feedback keeps you on the road to mastery. It tells you if you're on the right track. It helps you get better, like a great coach. That's what great feedback does. So the better your feedback, the more it's going to feel like a game and like an engrossing system. So number three, feedback. Number four, taking turns, or exchanges is the shorthand I use for that. So this fundamental feeling of taking turns, playing chess is taking turns. Having a conversation is taking turns. Many games have this back and forth of taking turns, tit for tat. Is taking turns. Giving and receiving a gift is taking turns. This taps into this very fundamental human engagement of, it's my turn, it's your turn, it's my turn, it's your turn, which is one of the most basic game mechanics we learn as little kids. Wait your turn. And you can tap into that. Humans also like the note that we're very familiar with what a conversation feels like. And if your system feels like a conversation, feels like taking turns, you're going to draw people in. So gifting is a good example of the game mechanic of taking turns. What's important about this mechanic is that it can be implicit or explicit. An explicit game mechanic is chess. There's turns. Friending, when both people have to opt in and then you're both friend, like on Facebook and MySpace, is an explicit turn-taking exchange. Implicit would be gifting. You give someone a gift, do they have to give you a gift back? No. Do they feel compelled? Yes. That's an implicit. A really interesting example of an implicit taking turn exchange is eBay feedback system. So you might notice that if you've ever traded on eBay, once you complete your purchase, I'm a buyer, I don't really sell, you get email from the seller saying, please leave me good feedback, and I'll leave you feedback in return. That is an implicit turn-taking thing. It's not built into the system, but it's become a cultural norm on eBay. And if you don't leave that feedback, boy, oh boy, will you hear from your angry seller. At least that's been my experience. So that's a great example of leaving some openness in a system where you don't code the turn-taking in, but it emerges as an emergent property of the way you've designed the system. That's actually the best case, because then it's really tailored to your environment. But turn-taking is number four. And the fifth is customization. It can be customizing your character, like in World of Warcraft, or blinging out your profile on MySpace. Those are both great examples of customization. Anytime you have a rich profile, you can decorate. If you look at a site as businesslike and simple as Hunch, which has actually got a lot of depth to it, go look at people's profiles. They kind of look like games. There's badges you're collecting. They're very rich. All that kind of customization was really pioneered by games. And thinking about how to allow people to customize their experience is much more what's traditionally been in the gamer dynamic. Gamers customize their interfaces, customize their characters, etc. Now, what we're seeing is that style of customizing both your identity and your environment is creeping into more everyday activities, particularly as it's supported with virtual goods business models, which we can certainly get into later if we have time.
Okay. I want to make sure that I understand these. Points, I understand. It brings out my own internal competitive instincts. I want more points. I understand collecting. If you give me badges and I'm into your system, into your environment, I'm going to want more badges. Feedback, I understand, because it lets me know I'm doing the right thing on the site, and it lets me know how to get more points and how to collect more badges. The taking turns, I don't understand how that helps. Why is it that I shouldn't create a system that allows my players to just keep playing? Why do I have to have them give each other turns back and forth?
Because it creates social capital.
How do you mean?
So if you have a single player environment and all you care about is you and you against the game, then it's not, then you can say, so by the way, these game mechanics, not every single one of them applies to every system, right? So turn taking might not be relevant in some systems. Is Mint game-like? Well, Mint has a really fun interface. It's a little bit game-like. I don't know that there's turn taking in there. It's not relevant. It's more of a single player experience. If you have a social environment, if you have a social network, if you want to create something that you're modeling as something like a multiplayer game where people can look at each other's profile, then gifting is the simplest example, and dynamics like that, and leaving compliments in Yelp, there's a good example. That's another really good example of something that's game-like and has this turn-taking element. The reason you want to create systems like that in multiplayer environments are because they will build your social capital. They will sprinkle social glue onto your system. They will help people get to know each other. They will make it harder to leave. When you've got 50 compliments at Yelp and another cool site that's got a little bit better, slicker interface launches, you want to have these reasons people stay at Yelp. Yeah, Yelp, excuse me. And that social capital, that ineffable thing that's represented by all of their interactions on the site, the more you make that concrete and visible and braggable, the harder it is to leave. And that's the key reason, and that's the very pragmatic business reason why you want to do it. Does that help?
Yeah, absolutely. And then the last one, customization, I get that, because once I've customized something, it's mine. It's almost like I've made it from scratch. I feel
harder to leave.
An ownership of it. Yeah, it's harder to leave.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, let's take in some of the feedback that people have typed in as we were talking. Will Lam is saying, wow, today's interview is almost like a mini lesson in social psychology and cultural anthropology. He's loving it. Thank you. GoTrend is saying that this is awesome. If you piece together elements of these interviews, you could develop a great business. That's the goal here. And I hope, by the way, that everyone who's watching us here, Amy, we're just scratching the surface of what you've talked about, of what you understand when it comes to game mechanics and getting users more engaged. I hope people go online, and we're not done with the interview here, but I just want to emphasize, we're just getting at the beginning of it. You've got to go and watch her in person, or you've got to go on her website and click around and find some of the longer talks that she's given and some of the PowerPoint slides that go deeper into this. That's why I wanted to talk to you, because I saw one of your decks and I said, I've got to meet the woman behind this. So AmyJoKim.com, is that where they can go and find more information?
Unfortunately, go to shufflebrain.com.
Okay.
And if you look at the blog, you'll find the all these things linked on the blog. And I'll be posting some new ones in January as well.
Oh, good. So shufflebrain.com. Go check it out.
Yes.
Kirsten Winkler is saying Jason's mahalo.com seems to be based on, where is that? Seems to be based on the same mechanics. Is that right? Have you seen that?
You know what? I'm not that familiar with Mahalo, but I'm going to make myself a note right now to check it out. I was really hoping I'd get some cool tips from this crowd, so thank you. I bet you're right. And that's actually really interesting. I guess that kind of proves my point, which is that a lot of people are figuring out the power of these kinds of mechanics.
Yeah, Jason actually has added to Mahalo both belts. If you answer a certain number of questions, you rise up and get, you go from white belt to black belt because he's a karate guy. He's also included points for each search. So I haven't logged into his site in a while, but I think when you do a search, you get a point. When you click, you get a point. And it's just up there kind of subtly at the top right of the page, letting you know that you're interacting with the site. And I guess he's trying to get you to be competitive there.
So I will definitely check it out. I have to say, if I'm searching and I see that I'm getting points, my first question that runs through my mind is, why are they doing that? Yeah, because it's not why I'm there.
Right.
I don't know Mahalo well enough to know if it's really a place you search to go get other places, or if it's a place that you sort of hang out. But I will definitely check it out and see what I think of it and how they're doing that stuff. It sounds like a great example. Are there more great examples that you're seeing in your text stream there?
We just had a question from G.S. Estra, gee, I gotta learn how to pronounce your name, man. Let's talk offline so I know how to pronounce your name. He's a very big part of these interviews, and I can never pronounce his last name properly. But he's asking a great question, which is, can this be added into any business, into any online site?
Yes, with discretion.
How do you mean?
I mean, if you throw all of these mechanics at any site, that's not good design. Mm. I would say almost any site could probably be improved. The low-hanging fruit there is better feedback. So often I will work with a client. For instance, I'll give you an example. Let's say that you've got a web community or website that's a support group. Are you going to want leaderboards? Yeah, maybe not. You know, you're not going to want to set up a competitive atmosphere. You're going to want points. Oh, maybe under the surface, but maybe not right at the surface. But might you want better feedback or a system to send I'm thinking of you notes, you know, back and forth like an exchange? Probably. That might sort of thing would reinforce why people are there. So yes, with discretion. Yes, with good design.
By I'm thinking of you notes, you mean from the site itself to its users?
Pardon?
By thinking of you notes, you mean from the site to its users, users to each other?
Yeah, like let's say that somebody posts, oh, I'm going back into the hospital for more chemo, sigh. And then somebody else can like post something, or they could just send a virtual gift or send a special, you know, note that says, you know, sending you support. That's a one-click thing. Those would be the kind of things, you know, that would make sense on a support group site.
All right, Amy Jo, I've never seen this before. I'm getting so many people tweeting about you right now that I can't keep up with it. Just as I start to read one, five more come in all at once.
I'm really glad. I have to just say, I'm so glad people are excited about this, and I'm really glad that there's some more in-depth, tutorials that I can point them to online too. Because it's very, you know, once you've got your arms around this stuff and you've outfitted your tool belt with the right game mechanics and you've got your designer's hat on and you're really thinking about supporting the activities, it's really exciting to develop this stuff and then track the responses with all the great tracking software we've got now and tweak it and make it better. And, you know, I think it adds more fun to the world, and that's a good thing.
And
more fun is good.
Yeah, we as entrepreneurs are part of the biggest game mechanic system ever. You know, we want to know how much money are we making with our sites, or how many more users are coming onto our sites, and we just keep getting competitive and competitive with each other. Monocat was asking a great question earlier too in the chat. He was asking, can this be added to e-commerce sites and how?
Amazon.com.
How are they doing it? Because
it's got all kinds of stuff. It's got, you know, user reviews. It's got feedback on the user reviews. It's got leaderboards, top 50 reviews. It's got badges associated with the leaderboards. It's got all kinds of stuff. I think that Amazon does a great job. Take a look at Mechanical Turk, too. See what they're doing. That's a really interesting site. But I think Amazon is full of game mechanics in that sense. And it's got a very well-developed reputation system. The interesting thing about Amazon, let me highlight this for a minute. I think this is potentially useful to all the folks out there. People can have reputation, and so can content. So when you're thinking about your reputation system or your rating system, how you want to create that, you can attach reputation to people like in eBay, but you can also attach reputation to content like ratings in Amazon, and they're both useful. In fact, here's just a little nugget of tidbit. Mm-hmm. One of the best hooks for those braggable moments I was talking about before that are great for viral outreach is when your content bubbles up as interesting because a lot of people are interacting with it. Braggable moment, because everybody wants to be pointed at great content.
I see, yes.
Sometimes it's easier to have braggable moments that work about content than necessarily about people.
Can you give people points for buying?
Excuse me?
Can you say that you're going to give points based on purchases and encourage people to rack up more points as they buy, or is that too obvious?
What usually works best there is redeemable points. So another kind of points, we talked about game points, we talked about social points. There's something else which is redeemable points, aka a loyalty program. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to rack up points when you buy, what's going to feel the most familiar to your players and feel comfortable and going to get the least customer support calls is going to be redeemable points.
I see. You know, as you were going through the five fundamental game mechanics, I was thinking that I once years ago got into Toastmasters. I wanted to learn how to speak better. It's not working 100%, but it helped a lot. And so I got in there, and I found myself getting so sucked in that I was going a few times a week to these sessions. And now I see why, because they had points. Every time you complete a speech, you'd get another point. They had badges that you were collecting. So you'd have titles at the end of your name. And in fact, when they announce you, they wouldn't just say, this is Andrew Warner. This is Andrew Warner Competent Speaker, or Andrew Warner Super Duper Speaker, whatever it was that
you leveled up.
Yes, you leveled up.
They had levels.
And then there's feedback. I mean, there's explicit feedback where people are telling you how good your speeches are and giving you feedback on how to improve. But there's also feedback within the point system. And then there's taking turns. I would speak, and then I would sit down, and someone else would speak, and I'd have to give them feedback, and I'd have to be there to support them. And of course, there's customization. The whole thing is designed around my interests. What kind of speeches do I want to give? So if it could be applied offline in such
a
system, it could work anywhere.
Oh, totally. Well, that's awesome, Andrew. Thank you for sharing that story. Yeah, so metagame systems are everywhere around us. Karate belts are a metagame layered on top of a martial art. Boy Scout badges are a metagame layered on top of learning about the outdoors with your dad. An employee incentive system is a metagame layered on top of doing well at your job. Your coffee loyalty card at, you know, your coffee place is a metagame layered on top of going for a morning coffee. They're everywhere. And Toastmasters, that's awesome about Toastmasters.
I didn't think of it.
So I want to say one more thing, mm-hmm. which is that you started to get a little bit addicted to Toastmasters, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things about game mechanics is they tap into very, very primal things that we humans have built into us. In behavioral psychology, they call that response patterns and reinforcement schedules. And part of why game mechanics work is they tap into that. And games, you know, the dark side of game mechanics is that they can really hook into our brain's internal reward system in a way that can distract us from other things we need to do. And it's a good thing for getting addicted to Toastmasters. If that didn't interrupt the rest of your life, it's great. Frankly, I'm addicted to exercise. I admit it. It's really great. At one time, I was addicted to Ultima Online, and my husband had to sit me down and have a talk with me, and then we wiped it off the computer. I'll be honest, I'm not immune. I can't have WoW on my computer, or I would not get anything done, literally. So this often comes up, and I wanted to sort of head it off at the pass. Game mechanics can be used to drive behavior. For some people, that behavior can become addictive in nature. And the difference between a really compelling, great game that is a lot of fun and something that wrecks someone's life is really about that person's ability to control their own behavior. And it's part of the continuum. It's also why some people go to Vegas once a year and have fun and other people have a problem. Same issue.
Oh, that's really
Game and
powerful.
game designers can't solve that issue.
You know what? I did an interview about cults and what we can learn as entrepreneurs from cults, and a lot of these mechanisms were in place there. The leveling up was
Totally.
something that constantly came up.
Find out about the secrets at the next level.
Yes. Yeah, and then everyone gives you more respect if you have another level, if you've got another title attached to your name. You mentioned a tool belt, a set of tools earlier. Can we go through some of them now? I know we don't have much time till the end of the
Sure.
interview.
Well, the first five we already went through, points and all the things around points, leaderboards. And I think of those, when I visualize it, I think of them as each a separate point, like leaderboards. Do we want leaderboards? Spotlights. Do we want spotlights? Points, social points, redeemable points. They're all there on the tool. It's you pull out the one that you need. Missions. Missions we didn't talk about too much. Missions are just like your to-do list in a sense. Tell people what to do. Make it easy for them to do it. Tell them what they will earn if they do it. That's what a mission system is, essentially. So I add that to the tool belt. Quests are another kind of mission. Boss monsters. That's another. That's I told you there was more sophisticated. So I would add boss monsters and monsters in general. Let's call them quizzes in an educational site, okay? How do you know you've come? Why can't you have a game-like environment for studying and completing knowledge in a certain area with a boss quiz at the end that you have to defeat in order to level up and learn the next level of your education? That's another example.
Okay, guys, I promise you from now on I'm gonna find a better chat system here because people are sending so many different messages here. I think we've outgrown it. And I know that a large part of it is this particular interview is drawing a lot of excitement here in the live with the live audience, but another part of it is I think maybe we've just exhausted this chat system. We need a better chat system for you.
There's one thing I can say. Tomorrow, I will be giving a free half-hour class on the basics of virtual
Is
goods
this on
and virtually
Edufire?
on Edufire.
They got it here, and they actually have linked up to you on Edufire here. Apparently, it's going to be tomorrow, 12/9, Wednesday, and we've got a link here. If you're watching us live, you can click it.
Okay. Yeah, I want to say I'm thrilled that there's excitement about this stuff, and I would love to empower all of you as much as I can with great tools so you can, hit it out of the park with what you're doing. So, if you're interested in the virtual goods, virtual economies, it's like a primer open to everyone, very basic, and you should enjoy that. And hopefully, Andrew, we could continue the discussion another time and delve deeper and maybe allocate more time to the Q&A part.
Yeah, I'd love it. Let me thank the person who just sent that out because he's been a big help here on Mixergy Live. Marius Ciocanel. Marius Ciocanel, thank you, and thank you also for sporting that Mixergy logo on your Twitter name, on your Twitter avatar. Man, you're a big help here. And yeah, click over to that Edufire class and check it out. All right, thank you. Thank you for doing this interview with me. Thank you all for watching us. I'm sorry we didn't get to all your live questions, but I'm hoping you could connect with Mary Jo directly. And if you have any more
Amy Jo.
questions, did I just say Mary Jo? Sorry.
It's
Amy Jo
okay.
Kim. I am
Happens all the
sorry.
time.
So I'm hoping you could connect with Amy Jo Kim directly. And if you've got any other questions, put them in the comments on Mixergy. We'll do our best to answer them. Thank you for coming here. Thank you for doing this interview. And thank you all for watching. I'll see you in the comments.